Fucking hell, your hair grows fast. You skinned that before you went to Ireland?
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Imagine.
On the downside, I have to cut my fingernails a lot more often. So, you know, there's a trade.
I won't make a growth hormone joke because you are actually like shaping up to potentially fight.
Wow.
Someone fucking...
It'd only be out of jealousy if you did make that kind of comment anyway. Mm. So. See? That's the immediate inhale. Karma. You were thinking of something. Yeah. You were bitching about something in your head.
I think
and
about
then.
Really nasty shit to say all the time. I stop myself, not in this context the whole time, but particularly at the gym, and I stop myself because there's just...
Because you don't want to open a can of worms that you're not willing to eat
there's
whole.
There's in no way that I'm intimidated by cans of worms, but I'm just, you know, trying to be a grown-up, innit, and not just fucking go that low all the time.
You're failing.
It's different. It's
you're
difficult.
You're failing horribly.
Difficult.
Come on, then. Oh, hang on a minute. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Outlaw Fix podcast.
Then. Come on now. Okay.
This week we are brought to you by Cadbury's.
Yeah. Are we?
I've just had
some. Well, I love some. Oh, right. Just eating that yourself, have you?
I only had one piece.
You know what? These mics are so sensitive. I heard that, like, as you were coming through the door, I could hear you rustling.
Can't
some
be fucking with your blood sugar like that, not at your age.
No, I'm not.
I'm all right. I've just worked out. You don't train anymore, do you? You're retired.
Are you kidding me?
What?
What do you mean I don't train anymore?
You don't train anymore, do you?
I do train.
Not since your knees.
No, I train
apart.
Around. I sparred on Wednesday.
Did you? Yeah, on one leg.
First one. Yeah, I just boxed.
Is that, oh, that's why you got that bruise
under your
eye.
That's why both black eyes. See, I told you I was back. Both of which were one person we won't name because he'll make him feel good about himself. Today's show is brought to you by C4. I don't know why I need to say that twice, but maybe I should have
bought
some
to
C4.
Brought to you
by C4. Check out c4energy.com, and if you are in the US, use the code FULLREPTILE at the checkout and you'll get 30% off your order. I'm well informed. Starburst flavor C4 is alive and well in the US.
Is that right?
And being guzzled. It's not over here yet, but it will be at some stage.
It's going to be dangerous.
Particularly,
in the gym.
It's flooding the gym right now. Not Starburst flavor, but everything else.
Yeah, I had to set one C4. Of the walls off, one of the mats off the wall the other day because someone had spilled one down the side of it.
I will bet everything I own on who that person was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everything. And he'll be denied.
Of course.
deny, and then lie.
It won't be Jimmy because he won't waste a drop of it.
No. Like, he'd have hoovered it up afterwards.
He actually crushes the cans like Popeye does with his spinach while he's pouring the last drops into his mouth.
People in the UK, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Something's coming in the new year.
Do not fret.
Yes, don't fret. Your caffeine-based beverages will be with you in the new year. We will have a deal for you in the new year. It's just not quite there yet. We're also sponsored by ourselves. Woohoo! The Full Reptile Collective. Check out fullreptile.co.uk. You'll find all kinds of stuff. Training t-shirts, training hoods and tracksuits, the boxing, Full Reptile Boxing, Full Reptile Martial Arts. We have sweats. We have a very, very limited supply of Rough House Fight Team tees and sweats, don't we? Which we will try and restock pretty soon. Loads of stuff available on the site. Go check it out. And if you do go there, use the code OUTLAWED and you'll get 10% off your order. We haven't changed that to Don't Tell Wad yet, but
not yet.
It's not too far away. There we go. There are two sponsors for today. Welcome
back.
That
can be our Black Friday code.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Just keep it.
Don't Tell Wad.
Yeah. Nice.
This should be a man.
What was your favourite, 267 or 268?
Oh, I wasn't expecting a hard question like that off the bat.
Yeah. Just keeping keep you on your toes.
267.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah.
Jan Sandhagen was awesome.
I think I know.
To watch Makhachev do that to Hooker and Chimaev do that to the Leech, that was... They were both very, very impressive. I mean, you know, there were good fights on both. I think one of the reasons I was a bit soured by 268 was Frankie.
Oh, I know.
Like, it never gets any easier to watch. You're like, oh.
No good, man.
And he looked small, and he was the lightweight champion. And he's now a small bantamweight. Like, what does that tell you about the sport?
It's so uncomfortable.
Can you imagine him in there against the lightweight now?
No.
I can imagine the size difference.
Size.
Cheeto looked like a lightweight fighting a bantamweight.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, it's no good. I just don't like it. And
no.
Anyone that is in not that I'm suggesting people are badgering him to keep going, but anyone that is pushing him forward to keep going,
yeah,
they ain't going to be there in 10, 15 years'
time. I don't
time
think
when
anybody is.
Can't talk.
I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's him pushing himself forward. That character trait is why we all fell in love with him originally. Do you know what I mean? It's just, fuck, man, just get out.
I know.
Get out while you got.
You know
you
what
got
Frankie Edgar's like though. He's like Steve Papp. You know, like my old Thai boxing coach Steve Papp, who got told off by the hospital for going climbing like 2 days after he had a heart transplant.
Heart
the guy's
transplant.
A maniac. Like Frankie Edgar will be the 71-year-old guy on the bag at the boxing gym that's still moving like he's in his 20s.
He's still faster than most people.
Exactly. He's always going to look good. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's there, you know, for the fights anymore.
I don't know what this is based off, but I feel like he is someone that is going to be, he's going to get a lot out of coaching. Like he looks like passing that knowledge on to the next generation was something that would be appealing to him.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine him as a wrestling coach, you know what I mean? With his, you know, socks pulled up into his trackies and his, you know, his sweat top tucked in.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And I know he's probably already doing that now. I think I've seen him keep coaching kids and stuff.
Was he coaching out of a UFC gym or something? I think he was.
Yeah.
But that's another reason why, to encourage these guys to step away at the right time so we're not losing all that valuable information that they've got to give as well, you know. We want them coaching.
But, you know, this is a long-standing argument discussion that we've had about, you know, it's not just that they need paying just so they can go and have a fancy life and live on boats and, you know, whatever.
It's paying them back into
paying
the sport.
People enough money that they can get out when the time's right, they can set something up and then they can relay the information down the lineage, you know.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, for sure. And going back to your original question of 267 or 268, as much fun as the Gaethje Chandler fight was,
annoying.
It did annoy me a bit, yeah. Because like we all love those blood and guts fights, but that one started blood and guts. It was like, I don't know. I mean, who said it in the corner?
Yeah,
stop trying to prove you're a tough guy.
Yeah,
like
a lot of shots that didn't need to be tough.
Loads.
I had this conversation with Josh. I thought, because of Josh's level and experience in striking, I thought it would annoy him because there was just such a disregard for playing the game.
Yeah, but you know what Josh is
pulling
like.
Pulling people in, pushing people in, do you know what I mean?
He likes a ding-dong.
No, he was just like, nah, that's fucking sick, bro.
Yeah, but, you know, he's of that age where that's appealing, like to show people that you've got that to give.
Yeah.
He's brilliant, but these guys I feel like are a bit past that. I felt like Gaethje left that behind after the two losses.
Yeah.
Because that was the guy he was when he came into
the
UFC.
That was his evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I feel like he's like, and to be honest, I felt like Chandler was worse than Gaethje was with it. Like in the third round, he was like mugging him off and offering his chin. Gaethje was pinging him and it was actually hurting him. Like, dude, that's actually a concussion. Yeah. Like, and then on the other channel,
you shouldn't be mugging people off when you can't see out of both eyes. No.
And then on the channel that Dana's watching, Octagon side, he's got Canelo on, who doesn't give you fucking anything.
No free shots.
Doesn't give you anything. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Like, there's a difference. One of those guys is interested in chewing his own food at his daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
The other guys are not thinking about Sunday. I like that if you need to fucking give that. But in a 3-round fight, at that level, they shouldn't have arrived at that stage within 2 minutes. Like, Chandler was gassed within 3 minutes just because of the fucking intensity.
The wing and everything.
Yeah.
Like, everything was 110, weren't it?
You know, fun to watch. And if I was Octagon side, I'd have been standing on my feet screaming, of course. But, like, I don't know.
It's the same, like,
sitting watching.
Those two,
I actually watched it after Canelo as well, so I'm like...
Oh. And some stuff that Colby does, you wouldn't teach kids like that.
No,
that's not what it's supposed to look like. Like I know that's a thing. The higher up in sports you go, you can get away with doing stuff that isn't technically like ideal.
Yeah,
because things change when it's in splits of seconds and what have you. But it's your fault, yours and Jimmy's fault. Because now I watch it, I'm like, well. That's not how you do it. That's not how you're supposed to be doing it. And obviously, that, you know, it is different because it's competition at the highest level, and you can't, you know, you could lose plenty of fights by being technically beautiful, but not having the Chandler Gaethje thing, not having the dog, not having enough of that. You know, you can lose like that. It's not all about technique. But a lot of stuff, like a lot of the punching stuff and the footwork, I was thinking, this must be annoying a couple of people. It must be annoying them. Like, if I'm seeing it, you're definitely seeing it, and Jimmy's seeing it, and Josh is seeing it. Falling off punches. And one of the things in the Colby Kamaru fight was I just felt Usman is very much more in control of his body.
Mm.
Like, he never really overthrows shots. No. He moves himself in range, gets his shots off, moves himself out of range. Whereas a couple of times, Colby would just sort of throw and then his feet would switch because of the momentum that he'd generated with his hands. But he didn't mean to switch his feet. He just, that was the only way he was going to control his body.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's exactly.
Like, this is top level.
Yeah. But it does happen to Usman as well. But he's usually, so like the point of difference between the two is Usman's got a little bit more power, a little bit more reach, and a little bit more control over the first couple of three punches of his combination. Mm. But even there was even a point where they were trading back and forth. I think it was the third round. And like Usman's like wild up against the fence swinging and Covington's just ducking and getting out of the way. Yeah. I'm like, that's exactly what you need to do. But then he comes in and starts doing it, and then Usman's just backing out of the way. It was, I don't know.
Colby is a tough motherfucker, man. Like,
absolutely is.
Like, we know that the person that he puts across on the camera is highly unlikely to be the actual person underneath there, but that man has fight in his DNA.
He does, absolutely.
Like, absolutely does.
Did you hear what he said to Usman afterwards?
You sort of. I couldn't really get it, but sort of. Just like,
it was like basically, I'm trying to sell the fight. I'm trying to hype the fight for both of us. You know, that's like, it's all love. That's,
yeah,
that's,
similar to what Connor said before I got spat on and attacked. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Rose Wei Lee fight was really interesting. Because it was a lot more competitive than I was expecting it to be. I thought Rose was going to do in the rematch what she did to Joanna in the rematch and just dominate her, just be too much for her everywhere. Mm. And Wei Li actually made it really competitive, which it was good to see, because it's like it kind of makes sense of the MMA maths in, you know, for once.
Yeah.
Like, Rose is better than Wei Li and Joanna.
Yeah.
And Wei Li just happens to be in between the two of them. Like, Joanna's not good enough to beat either of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like marginal. It's like
I was chatting to someone in China who's been in and around Wei Li, and they're like, she's got loads of potential to get better. There's some fundamental things that she's not really very good at, and they just don't train it.
Yeah.
And she's already at that level, and she's not training X, Y, Z of, of the whole package.
Mm.
And when ouchies.
I don't, but I could find out almost immediately. She is 32.
Oh, I'm on the wrong.
Still got a bit of time.
Wrong tab of 480 tabs that I've got open.
Yeah, she's 32.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really know. I feel like I've got a reasonable read on, like, as a male, where you peak as an athlete and stuff. But because I haven't been involved in female sport very much, I don't. Like, is that, like, where is that for a female?
I don't.
Combat athlete?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think there's a hard, fast rule for MMA.
No.
I think maybe in a few years' time, when the other tangibles have been boiled down to the basics, like once everyone's got decent footwork and decent defense, and once everyone's, you know, around the same weight, and we've roughly figured out the right height and reach for these weight divisions, you know, kind of like what happened with Olympic Taekwondo.
Mm.
Like, that's why, like, I got to a point where all of a sudden everybody in my weight division are like stick insects.
Yeah,
I'm like,
right.
Oh, this is shit. They just have to waft a foot near you to get a point now.
But so in general, like, if you're bigger and slower, you peak later. Do you know what I mean? You lose speed and you lose explosiveness earlier. You know what I mean? It's similar in a couple of different sports. Like, for instance, in rugby, if you're as a prop who's not doing that much running, the generally 120 kilos, like big dudes, you can play on till mid-30s, late 30s, but as a winger who's fast and smaller and speed is the most important quality that they have, you're probably looking at 28, 29, maybe 30, 32, you're probably pushing it. So there's just that little bit of discrepancy. I feel like, to some degree, the same in combat. Like, if you're a bit slow and a bit bigger, you could probably peak a little bit later. Like, you can see the heavyweights coming through at Glover, you know, he's coming through late and winning stuff, whereas I'm not sure you could do. If speed and explosiveness was the key to your weight division, then maybe you're probably going to peak a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
You just think of an example just to ruin my theory.
No,
I could see you, like, I could see your brain ticking. Which motherfucker's old and still killing it as a lightweight?
Okay, let me give you this as a for instance then.
It's fucking hot in here, you know.
Do you think it is?
Yeah.
got that heat button on, yeah, isn't it?
No, it's not even on.
No.
What the fuck?
It's menopause.
I thought you were at it again.
You're getting that age, aren't you?
Huh?
Menopause.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
No, okay. So it's because you're nervous, because you know I'm gonna fuck up your theory.
Menopause. Forgive me, I'm just going through the menopause. Go on then.
That's what you take 6 months off training because you're injured.
Just distract you from of this
so
theory destroying example. It's an anomaly.
I think if you're looking at a refined skill set, we can figure that out far, far easier. But if you're looking at a sport that's so diverse like MMA, I think there's a representation.
There's levels to bring up first. Yeah.
Like if you use the analogy of a team, so if you say, okay, a rugby team, for example, and you're talking about the prop and the winger, right? Mm. And the being the differences between their style and the way they approach the game. I would say they represent, like a team in rugby represents a fighter in MMA. You know, like I've talked about with military analogies.
Yeah.
Like if you're Habib, you're a Greek hoplite with a shield wall and you just roll over the enemy.
Steamroll.
And they cannot do anything. If you're a fighter like Wonderboy or like Machida, you're much more like the Mongols, where they come in and they skirmish and then back away and then get you to run and then attack you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like the characteristic of an army or the characteristic of a team can be much like a fighter. Mm. So like if you look at Jessica Andrade, like her style is all about power and speed, and that predominantly is what shines when she's fighting. Mm. Whereas, so that will drop off at a rate much faster than someone who's like Joanna, who's got a more technical game, or Rose, that's not reliant on power and speed as much. Mm. Like technical assets of fighters can overtake physical assets, attributes.
Because of the efficiency of being technically proficient.
But I think that even in, say, a welterweight, there are going to be guys later in their career that are Glover Teixeira style, and there are going to be guys earlier in their career that are, I don't know, Mike Perry style, explosive and a bit reckless and a bit messy, but we'll win some fights because those attributes shine through.
Mm.
But when those attributes start to fade, and when toughness and, you know, durability starts to fade, that's when the Glover Teixeira start taking over.
Yeah.
And I think eventually it'll get to the stage where everyone's got that Glover Teixeira game, and then the attributes will be far more
level out.
Yeah. Mm. But I think we're a long way off that yet at the moment.
Yeah, it's
like look at what's his name, Chris Barnett, for example.
Yeah,
Chris Barnett.
Now we're talking anomalies,
right? There you
now
go.
We're talking
he thinks he's 170 pounds, don't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, no, wicked.
And he took out Jan Vellante, who was a
Yeah, he had 1 foot in retirement, Jan, didn't he?
He did, and 1 foot in Krispy Kremes.
one roll in retirement.
Fucking hell. You'd have to pay me a lot to be on TV looking like that, to be honest.
I'm too vain. I couldn't do that shit. Nah, I need a year and some clenbuterol. Give me a year and a bag of clenbuterol. I'll come on.
Okay.
Shane Burgos and Quarantillo.
Yeah.
Another massacre. Just an absolute massacre, weren't it?
You could tell the fans were exhausted from the fight before, though, because they were just quiet, weren't they? Like, as these guys were beating the fuck out of each other, they were
fair, man, fair play. I thought Shane really put it on him, and Billy took it, and a lot of people had done.
Yeah.
A fucking lot of people had done there under that pressure, and he, you know, came back and
it
was just a, yeah. He's got just another brawl.
Burgos' boxing skills surprised me.
Yeah.
Like he was just kind of hanging a little bit and slipping punches. I'm like, he actually looks like he spars boxing.
I think he does, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it just showed through in this fight. And I can't think of another time where it's really showed through. He's always looked like he was a bit too hittable. Okay. Whereas this time, he looked like he had a bit more head movement.
After he got
pinged by, was it Barbosa? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah, that was weird.
Mate. Not a bad way to make an entrance, Alex Pereira, was it?
Oh, mate, unbelievable.
Not a bad way to make an entrance.
And like Joe Rogan was...
Yeah, number one fan. All right, I'm the number one fan of Alex Pereira, just in case anyone's wondering.
Yeah, mate, he's lethal, isn't he? My concern is his lack of experience.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect much from Michael Ides anyway. Most likely he's going to get, what's his name next, that Chimaev knocked out. Fucking
who? Mershaw.
No, Gerald Mershaw. Yeah. That's the next opponent for Pereira. Someone that's got good on the ground, but hasn't got the takedowns to get it there. Because his takedown defense looked all
right.
He's
just tough, innit? Like he's.
Did he get taken down once?
Yeah, he came out in that second. I think second round, he was just like, looked like he just had enough. He's like, this is bullshit.
Let's just fucking fuck him up.
Knee
with
this motherfucker in the face and get this over and done with. And he did.
Yeah. Very easily. Much, yeah. Comfortably.
Yeah. It's cool. I know what you're saying. He's just, I wonder how far he can go and how quickly he can fill those gaps.
What's he had 5 fights in MMA?
Yeah.
I know he's had a lot in kickboxing, but.
Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. That's not the problem, is it? You can kickbox with probably you can kickbox with anyone in the division.
Yeah,
easy. It's just whether he can fill those gaps quick enough.
Yeah,
or have like an efficient line to like, I need X, Y, and Z. Get them right. Don't worry about everything else. Get that right, and I'll be right.
I mean, he's fucking huge for a middleweight.
Yeah, he is, isn't
he? He is really big.
Every time I see him, I think fucking hell, he's big.
Yeah,
he's just long as well. He's got like orangutan arms, isn't he?
He is. He's fucking. Like nasty. Weirdly powerful.
Nasty.
Like, I mean, Rogan was right. Everything he was saying, he's like weirdly powerful. He connects at really short range, and it's just got this thud to it. People, it's like hitting someone with a kettlebell when they're not looking. You know what I mean?
I really like him. I think he's going to do some damage. I'd be very surprised if he rises to the top. I see already like people are prodding Izzy in that.
Thing is, if they can match him right. Yeah. If they can match him right, they can get him too easy without it looking too contrived. Do you know what I mean? But if you,
what
I mean,
they need, probably needs 3.
Just keep them the fuck away from Brunson, because that would be a nightmare.
He's not going to win that, is he?
Let's have a look. I mean, like you look. Okay, let's figure him out a path through the top 15 to the title.
What do you need? 4. You need to find 4, maybe.
I don't know. 3 in this day and age, isn't it? 3 in if this UFC day and age, like and then fucking line, smash a bus or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, or get done
run,
with coke
a,
or
run a red light. Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, take a shit on someone's desk. I don't know. Something to get it done. So who would you give him? Mate, I tell you what, fucking like Uriah Hall or Darren Till would both be fun fights. I think he is a nightmare for Gastelum or Brad Tavares. Like, honestly.
There you go. If you get one of those, that kind of. All right, I've got someone out of the top 10 now. Done. Well, now I need. Now I need a top 3 or 4, and now I've got the champ.
Okay, so if you go someone in the top, someone in the top 15, someone in the top 10, someone in the top 5. So Imavov won at the weekend, and he looked pretty good. He's a good striker. He looked well conditioned. So you go Imavov next, and he's at number 12.
Darren Till at 8.
Darren Till at 8.
He needs a 5.
Or Sean Strickland, because he bores the fucking life out. I mean, I'd love to see
he's
someone
get
ping
huge.
Him with a knee.
Yeah.
And he's pretty
and he's
much a big
square,
welterweight.
He's too square. Walks at him.
Yeah, and then Jared Cannonier.
Oh. And you don't. Oh,
and then he's in
you,
there.
Sir.
Oh. Did you want it, sir?
Suits you, sir.
There we go.
There we go. Done
matchmaking.
Anyway,
piece of piss.
Just call us, Sean.
We got told at one point we weren't allowed to call them matchmakers anymore.
Oh, well.
It was weird that, yeah.
Like, we always talk about what do they want to be called?
I don't know.
About organisers or. Yeah.
Okay. Fighter liaison.
Oh, Ian Garry.
Lovely.
Ian Garry.
He had me worried for a little while. He kept backing up square to
very,
the fence.
Very nice finish to it.
Beautiful.
Lay back right hand, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell he's styling himself on Connor.
I'm telling you, bruv. This public relationship thing you got going on social media, I'm going to regret that in your mid-30s.
Oh,
regret it. The professional wag life is not going to look good in 10 years' time,
uh-uh.
is it?
Uh-uh.
Nah, man.
Oh, I hope he keeps it together.
Yeah,
he's
so
such
do
a
I.
good prospect. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we'll see how that
motherfucking banshees.
The banshee.
The
professional wag.
Gross.
Wag author.
Gross. Honestly, search her name on Amazon, you'll fucking see what I say.
Professional wag.
WAG stands for Wives and Girlfriends.
Yeah. See, that's just an English
it's
thing.
Gotta it's got to be a Britishism, that.
Yeah,
it's
sounds
the Premier
like a
League,
British
isn't
thing,
it?
Yeah.
That's where
it comes from, the Premier League. What was it? Colleen Rooney and all of that lot.
There you go.
Is that what they used to call them? Wags.
Wags. Wives and Girlfriends.
Yeah. Fight
lethal.
Night.
Lethal.
Lethal.
More dangerous than half the UFC roster.
Yeah. Psychological
vicious.
Warfare. Yeah.
Vampires.
Strongest drug on the face of the earth.
Got loads of good words for him. Banshee. Siren.
You do. You
know what I mean?
You do have lots of words for him.
Well, you know, you encounter these people sometimes. Okay, are we on to the next card yet?
Oh, I think I'm
are
out we... of order here, yeah.
Of course you're out
Mark
of order.
Casey and
you're
Rafael
fucking out
Alves.
Of order. What's changed?
No, I just remember seeing it had changed.
Oh,
and then
has
I didn't rejig.
I've got the first one being
Casey.
Kennedy and Sejiku against Dart and Jung. Jamie's nodding, so he's...
Yeah, all right. I can't pick against Kennedy again. I picked twice against him. Yeah, Carlos Holmberg, I thought, nah, there's no chance he's going to smash him up. And he did, and then gassed.
Hard.
Yeah. Off the cliff.
Yeah. And Marquez just threw everything at him and couldn't get to him. And
same. He's a bit of a rope-a-doper, isn't he? Just sort of
not intending to be, though.
No. But surely a little bit.
Most people can't lean over the top of the cage, can they? That's the point of difference. Yeah. Like Stefan Struve.
Can't get me.
Get that little slip over the top of the fence.
That Hung Jung's about as big as him. There's only an inch difference, right?
Mate, he's a fucking unit, that kid is. And I called his debut when he was fighting Kadys Ibragimov. And like that was a similar kind of thing. Like he came out fucking flying. Yeah. He was like psyched up, slapping himself in the face in the changing rooms, threw everything at Dar and Jung, and then ended up getting caught in a guillotine when he was gassed to fuck. I mean, it's a hard one to call because it's just like, who the fuck knows? Like
Dar and Jung's got a bit of. He had some nice wrestling up against the fence in the William Knight fight. Got a couple of trips from the body lock. And you would think that would be a pretty smart move from him if he can get in, get hold of Kennedy and put him on his back. I don't remember seeing much from Kennedy off his back, right?
Let me have a look at his UFC stats.
And he did he got ragged around a little bit by Danilo, didn't he?
Yeah, a little bit. He's a good grappler though, isn't he?
Yeah.
So 80% takedown defense. But how many times has he been taken down? 83-inch reach.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, they're about the same height.
Yeah.
Nzejiku is 6'5", and Dar and Jung's 6'4".
Yeah.
But Kennedy's got a 5-inch reach advantage.
I picked Kennedy because I didn't want to pick against him again, but...
Do you think Jung can kind of drown him up against the fence maybe, and stomp his feet and make it ugly?
And just keep thundering him up to the body. Put him on his back and tire him out. And I just can't remember seeing anything from Kennedy off his back, like even getting up or... Yeah.
No, not really.
I'm going to pick against him again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm changing it.
Oh, yeah, you're going
changing
with...
Changing it. Dong Jung.
You're going with Jung, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll go in Zedjiku then. I think he's durable enough to get through into the third round, and Dong Jung's going to exhaust himself trying to take him down, and they'll just pat, 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 and Jung will be standing TKO against the fence.
That is his MO, really, isn't it? It's basically what he's done the last two times out, at least.
Yeah, I'm going with the Nzejiku.
Yeah, so who have you got next? Because I'm this is a mess.
I have hang on a fucking minute.
Oh, that's not as much of a mess as yours.
I'm not even on the right page now on this one. What happened here?
Hold on.
I'm on it. It's all right. Here we go. I've got Mark Casey against Rafael Alves.
Yeah.
Alves reminds me a lot of RDA.
Yeah, right.
Like, even the way he stands, like, the position of his feet, his back foot's quite square and he's very flat and he's got that kind of sway in Muay Thai style and he sweeps and scoops and blocks just like...
But everything is, like 110. There's no tap, tap, bang, is there?
No. That's where Mark Giacchese is going to be able to get him to reach and catch him. Like, Giacchese's a slick striker. He's very, very quick.
He's not had a great run, really, in the UFC, has he?
He had some rough ones.
But if you look at who he's lost to and where they've gone on to now, like, he's, you know, you can understand it quite a lot.
Yeah.
Fiziev, Hooker, Hak Prast, and Dracar Close, they're all doing pretty good.
Yeah. And they all did a similar kind of thing where they walked him down, aside from Hooker. I mean, Hak Prast in particular, they walk him down and make him uncomfortable. Don't give him that space. Kind of like what Khabib did against Barbosa.
Right.
Like, you know he's got a heavy kicking game, so take all of his space away.
Don't be a bit reckless in the kicking range.
Just get close to him and back him up. Like, I mean, I don't think Alves is going to be able to do that. I don't think his footwork's educated enough. But he does have some good low kicks. And if he's able to chop into those legs as Giacchese's moving, you might be able to slow him down. I think Giacchese is going to be too quick for him, though.
Yeah, just pick him apart a little bit.
And I wasn't mad impressed with Alves' wrestling against Imagulov, but then again...
He's got a guillotine, and Mark's been caught with a guillotine before, but it's, you know... It's,
So it's less likely he's going to get caught with one again, you would hope.
Learned his lesson, maybe. Yeah. Dan Hooker caught him, didn't he, with a guillotine? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took the Casey for similar-ish reasons in that I just thought it'd just pick him apart. It'd be a bit too...
Yeah.
A bit too sharp for him.
Yeah. He has also been stopped with low kicks as well, Alves, early in his career.
Mm.
And that's because he stands so square. Mm. It's because he's so available to be hit. I think Gyökeres lights him up. Yeah, and I think, right, if he starts doing that high knee block sweeping, that's where Gyökeres starts seeing those little openings to catch him. Remember what he did to, what's his name, Teemu Pakkalin?
No.
One of my favourite John Gooden lines, he said, yeah, he's marbleised him. He just went stiff and just very
like,
slick.
Like Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
There you go, yeah.
The Ice Queen.
There you go. Okay, so you're going with Gyökeres as well,
yeah,
are you? Yeah, wicked. Yeah. This one, I think he's going to be a...
Hold on, which one? Because I'm out of order here.
Of course you are.
You're being out of order, but not telling me the order.
Courtney Casey versus Liana Jojoua.
I've got to scroll.
Oh, shit, his notes are out of order. No, whoever did your notes, you've got to have a word with them.
I told them to make sure...
Oh, fucking hell.
It's in here somewhere. Go on, you say what you want to say, and then I'll correct you in a minute.
Nice.
That was like, I basically said that pretending to be you. That's what you should say to me. Just going to have a... What was that? Just going to have a C4 hole. Carry on.
I think this is going to be a hell of a scrap. Courtney Casey's not particularly quick. She's not particularly explosive, but she's got experience and she's tough as fuck. Mm. And she's got that nice, steady, walk you down Muay Thai style that I think might be problems for Jojoua because she does stand very still. Like, if you think what Miranda Maverick did to her, that lead elbow smashed right through her guard, opened her nose up. That was, I mean, and that was just because she was just hittable.
Yeah.
And obviously Maverick's a bit quicker, a bit more explosive.
She got, like, Jojoua gets dominated a bit physically as well, like Sarah Morris?
Sarah Morris, yeah.
Sarah Morris, she's just sort of like, even just her posture just sort of dominated her and forced her backwards, and she looked really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She got lit up a little bit by Bell Bitzer.
Bell Bitzer. But then she armbarred her.
That's what I was going to say. She was getting lit up a little bit before that. And then I think Bell Bitzer initiated the clinch and then paid for it pretty badly by getting armbarred.
I'd have to watch that one again to remember it clearly. I think she can get Courtney Casey reaching and overextending and make her takedowns easy. If she's willing to engage a little bit on the feet. Like, if she spends the first 90 seconds giving no intention of a takedown whatsoever, and she's like, she's just there and she's, you know, catching her with that jab and, you know, just keeping it basic and keeping her feet moving, then and keep backing away, Courtney Casey's going to keep stepping to strike. And she, like I said, she's not particularly quick.
Yeah.
So it might be a case of her being able to get to step and then
and catch her.
Power double.
She's 9-9, Courtney, isn't she? But
yeah.
A lot of them have been splits. And decisions, and then obviously like an armbar to Gillian Robertson, but you know, that's what she does.
A lot of decisions.
Yeah. I wanted to watch the JJ Aldridge fight, but I couldn't because, do you know why?
With Fight Pass shit.
Fight Pass being a piece of shit again.
No, of course it
was. I couldn't watch it. How many have you been on the 38th week in a row? Still being a piece of shit. I think she's a little bit too much for Jojoua.
Yeah, do you think?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, you're going with Courtney Casey.
I guess by that tone, you're going with Jojoua.
I think she'll take her down and beat her up on the floor.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think it'd probably be a decision, and I think she's probably gonna have to work hard for it. Courtney Casey will make it difficult, but I think if Jojoua comes in with a smart game plan and gets her to step to strike, she'll be able to take her down and you know, be problems for her on the floor.
Cool.
You know, plus 8-4, she's younger as well, isn't she? Like Courtney Casey, 34.
Yeah, 9-9. You don't like see learning. That. You don't, in the UFC, you very rarely see like a...
You're doing the women's divisions a bit more.
Maybe.
Like Sarah Morass's record's a bit like that as well. There are a few in the women's divisions. Randa Marcus, another one.
Yeah, the pool's quite small, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But then because they've been swimming in a pool of hard fighters, if you've released them to a different organization...
They go good.
Yeah, they either won't get matchups or they'll beat everybody you offer. Yeah, so Jojoua's 26. She's just got more capacity for learning, I think, at that age. That's the other thing. And,
so we split.
Yeah, she didn't want that fight to be stopped either.
No.
No.
She's loving it. She's loving getting beaten up.
Yeah. I won't tell you why it was. I'll tell you a different time. Right. It's bad.
Really something to look forward
off. To. Really pissed me off.
Sometimes
they'll really, really look after a fighter, and other times they just fucking will throw them under the bus.
Let them go, yeah.
And the reasons I was given for that one being stopped were due to her gender and her age more than anything. I'm like, what the bullshit. Fuck? Like, that's not how it works.
But she's pretty.
Yeah.
I need to keep her pretty.
Yeah. Maybe the doctor shouldn't be following her Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, so you're just gonna you're gonna tell everyone now,
right? Fucking right, no just more. Annoyed the fuck out of me.
Yeah, I can
like imagine. Who are these people? Okay, anyway,
here we got.
I've got Sean Woodson against Colin Anglin.
Yes.
Fucking Anglin had a rough night out against Bagdasarian, didn't he?
He did, didn't he? He was sort of doing all right just for a little bit.
You
and
know what?
Then
I watched it earlier today. He got caught with a body kick about a minute and a half in.
Yeah.
Much like the one, you know, Colby's first fight against Usman when he got hit with that uppercut?
Yeah.
It just seems to, like, it, honestly, it seems to deflate fighters and they never get back.
It's like he had good moments. Life force just drain out of you. I mean, I get it, but
he had good moments.
Yeah,
but
he's got a bit of a chin on him, not like a growth chin, but he's just got a bit. He can take a shot, can't he?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I like Woodson. I mean, I think
there's a lot going on in his feet are switching seemingly at random intervals and rhyme or reason to it. His hands are all over the place. His boxing seems quite like straight. Punching seems pretty good.
Yeah. Got a fucking long jab as well. Yeah. He's got a really long jab.
He's a very odd-shaped human, isn't he? very odd-shaped human, I think.
He is.
I think he's going to cause him some problems. I can see Colin's very athletic, pretty built, loads of power. My inclination is that Woodson's probably a bit sharper than him and can probably keep distance and pick him apart.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Like Anglin can do this if he's able to close him down and take
him down.
Get
hold of him.
Because, I mean, that's the only time we've seen Woodson struggle in the UFC was when he was doused by, what's his name? Julian Erosa. Aside from that, he's been cruising. And you think about his fight on the Contender Series against Terence McKinney, where, like, he was taken down. He was forced to defend his back first and part of the second round. And then he was able to scramble back to his feet and then just, kind of like Alex Pereira, just slide straight into a flying knee and knocked him out. Like, that's the kind of circumstance I think he could catch Anglin with, because Anglin needs this fight on the floor. Like, I mean, check this out, as far as UFC stats go. So, similar records, 8-1, 8-2. So, one more fight, one more loss for Anglin. 5-9 with a 71-inch reach for Colin Anglin, 6-2 and a 78-inch reach for Woodson. That's massive.
That's a seven-inch reach advantage. How sort of unorthodox and jerky is going to be difficult to pick and read what's going on, isn't it?
For sure. And that fucking barge pole of a lead hand that he's got. Boom. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Woodson's going to fuck him up.
I don't have the biggest legs in the world, but he's got two twiglets hanging out of his shorts. Can you imagine if you get in and get your hands together around them two little legs? It's going to be a pretty easy takedown, isn't it?
I mean, I think if he times his takedowns well, I think he can ground him. But, I mean, Woodson's got 81% takedown defense. You know, He's a good fighter. I think he could be real problems for Anglin.
I think he'll win. I think Woodson's going to get that.
Sweet. Okay. Yeah. Back to...
Where are we at?
We are Miguel Beza. Miguel Beza against Chaos Williams.
Yeah, I think I picked Beza in the lead up to the Ponzinibbio fight. Annoyingly, you said Ponzinibbio would be too much for him. And Ponzinibbio was too much for him. I believe.
But he's fucking good.
He is good, isn't he?
Mate, honestly, he is good. And you look at the way he's beat people as well. So he's got that, like, he hacked the legs of Aldana to pieces, dropped him, and then followed him to the ground. And Aldana wasn't hurt head-wise. He just curled up in a ball because he didn't want to keep fighting.
Fuck this, I'm done. Then Matt Brown.
Yeah. And then if you think how he did that as well. So he went power low kick, step back into a left hook counter, because Matt Brown got banged with the low kick, stepped in hard because he was pissed off, and walked straight onto a counter.
Like,
and then arm triangle against Takashi.
If Paul was going to work on anyone, Matt, you'll pull Matt Brown
guy.
Like a motherfucker.
He's the
you?
Guy. It's like fishing with
emotional
that
pull.
Yeah,
yep, got him.
Here he comes.
yeah.
And you know, and in the Sato fight, he was mount arm triangle, set that up, beautiful finish. Ponzinibbio, I just thought was going to be too much for him. I mean, look at the experience. It was 10-0 against 27-4. It counts for a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna fuck up Chaos Williams unless he gets caught with something fucking... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, like Chaos...
I think he's too skilled.
Yeah, so do I agree. I think Baze is going to win it. I think Chaos could be a reasonable test for him.
Mm.
He's a bit on that second wave. You know, people come in and gradually you increment the level that you fight and you find someone, and he found Michel Pierre, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And then he lost that and then he dipped, and now he's on that second wave up again. And he's,
yeah.
It's a good win. That Semmelsberger's like you know, we rate him. We've talked about him quite a bit, haven't we? That's a really good win at the stage that he's at.
Yeah. But then, I mean, like, Morono's a good win, and so is Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, but they were both under 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's like, he can catch you with a clean shot. Like, think, for example, if Miguel Beza comes in and he goes immediately for that outside kick and Chaos Williams trades it with a cross and knocks him out cold, yeah, for sure. 30 seconds in, Chaos Williams knocked him out and the fight's over.
Yeah.
But if it starts to go into the second round, Miguel Beza's skill comes through.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's a small, underpowered guy. He's fucking Caramel Thunder.
Yeah.
You can't ever pick against someone that's called Caramel fucking Thunder. That is a brilliant nickname.
I've got him. I like him.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, Chaos Williams has got a very cool name as well, but I mean, you know, Caramel Thunder.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Okay. So we're going both going Beza, right?
Both going Beza, right. Yeah. Glad I've talked you around into
thanks for teaching me about MMA. Cynthia Calvillo against Andrea Lee.
You don't really like Andrea Lee, do you? I think she's quite good. I remember we've spoken about it before, and you were like, nyeh.
She's just very kind of...
She looks very... Like, obviously, I've never tied up with her, but she looks very strong. She's very athletic. She looks like...
Like wiry
like
strong.
She's like, it's like Texas Rodeo type.
Well,
life,
I mean,
outside of MMA,
I don't know. I think she's a Russian sleeper agent, personally. Maybe. Her nickname's KGB.
She's not sleeping very well. If she's a sleeper agent.
That's
she's
very
like,
true.
KGB.
Yeah,
that's not how it works.
Yeah, I mean, she's got. Well, look at their topology picture.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
That can't go down well in Texas, can it?
I don't think so. Like, I don't think so. No. If Zhang Weili came out dressed like that, there'd be all kinds of uproar. Yeah.
I think she's pretty good. Like, she's not...
She looked really good in her last fight against Shevchenko, but then Shevchenko struggles on as soon as it hits the floor. And Calvillo's got good wrestling, and she's a fucking pit bull of a fighter, Calvillo is.
Lee struggled a bit with Roxy. I thought she was doing really good with Roxy, but Roxy just wouldn't go away, would she? She just kept in it, and eventually she just sort of turned the tide a little bit and tied her up and beat her up a little bit on the floor. And I can see Cynthia getting that top position, maybe that top half guard, and just beating on her a little bit, and Lee not being able to get to her feet. But I don't know if Andrew is just a little bit sharper on her feet, and she looks like she hits quite hard. She hasn't, you know, obviously that's she hasn't been knocking people out, but she looks like she could do some bit of damage.
Yeah.
She does, the one thing I did notice when she gets tired, she narrows her stance to almost feet like next to each other.
Yeah.
And that's not going to go great if Cynthia's going to blast double on her.
Not at all.
If she starts getting tired.
My concern with Calvillo is that she tires herself out wrestling, and Andrea Lee makes it difficult enough to take her down.
Yeah, and she's athletic and she's strong and... It's not going to be any. Yeah,
57% takedown defense for Andrea Lee.
Mm.
She's got a 5-inch reach advantage though. 2-inch height, 5-inch reach advantage. High volume of strikes landed per minute. Slightly higher striking accuracy.
She's there or thereabouts. Like Laura Murphy split with JoJo, split with Laura Murphy, lost a decision to Roxy. Like, she's there or thereabouts in that mid tier of that division, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. Which way are you going?
Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, fuck it. I'll go Cynthia. I just like disagreeing with you.
Yeah, I know.
I'll go Cynthia. I think she'll win a decision wrestling and beating her up on the ground. Yeah, why not?
Right.
Why not?
Who you got next?
I've got Thiago Moises against Joel Alvarez.
Yeah. I watched his fight with Makhachev yesterday.
Mm.
And at one stage, he double legs Makhachev, passes his guard, gets fucking really excited, makes him turtle, gets so excited, gets on his back, and then falls off the front. And he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But fair play. That's still, you know, not many people are doing that.
No. I think he's more well-rounded than Alvarez. And I think... Due to the size, the height and reach of Alvarez, I think it makes more sense for him to grapple with him, and I think he can. I think he's going to be able to ground him. Yeah, I do.
You think Alvarez will ground Moises?
No. Moises will sit. I mean, there's a, like, you look at So it's 5'9" against 6'3". It's a 70-inch reach against a 77-inch reach.
This is not going to go well for young Joel.
I think he's going to get taken down and mauled.
I think he's going to get beaten up bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moises is a good fighter. Good. Yeah, he's a good fighter. I think he's a better size for this weight class as well to be able to apply a lot of strength to his opponents. I don't think Alvarez, you know, unless he's really sharp with his Muay Thai and he's able to catch him with knees or something on the way in, but the level as well is different. Alvarez has not been fighting at this kind of level.
Dariush, Ismagulov, and obviously Makhachev. I know he's lost those, but... Yeah. You know, there's someone else that I feel the same about on this card. There's still, even just being in there, even though you've lost, you spent time in there at that level, it does something to your experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Moises wins this. Yeah. I think it could be a rough night for...
And everyone that's tried to take Daniel Alvarez has taken him down.
Right.
Oh. It's never a good stat.
No, that's not a good stat.
I think he's in the same stats as me for that one.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Just lie down. Oh, so, fine. Okay, save us both a little bit of effort.
Okay, so we're both going Moises on that
one.
Yeah,
I think
so. Okay. I'm not stupid enough to disagree with you on that one.
Okay.
Okay, Song Yadong against Julio Arce.
Yeah. I think Song is the future, which Ian Garry will be very annoyed about.
Yeah.
Stealing his nickname. He's 23.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of wins under his belt for a 23-year-old.
He has.
He got out Song Yadong by Kyla Phillips, didn't he? Outbounced him, out-hustled him. Like, yeah, that must have pissed him off because that's a fight. You know, if he wants to keep that role going and move up through the ranks and start fighting, you know, right at the top, he should have won that fight. And I'd imagine he'd be very annoyed about that.
Yeah. But then if you look at the people he's got wins over. I mean, you know, Marlon Vera and Casey Kenny are both good wins.
Yeah. He's there.
Yeah, you know, he is, for sure. I think Kyla Phillips was just a bit too random for him.
Mm.
You know, I mean, even with Casey Kenny having a similar kind of work rate or even higher than Kyla Phillips, he was still able to deal
more
with
it. Predictable.
Because, exactly. Yeah.
He sort of knew what was coming,
yeah.
I think he's very good. He's got very, very heavy hands. He's super athletic. He's in great nick. I think he's going to come through at 25-27. What's his record now?
17-5-1.
He's probably going to be in the high 20s of wins by then.
Mm.
He's very impressive young man.
I think he wins by decision.
Yeah.
I think he beats Arce by decision.
Arce's got some good win, man. That Dan Ige, that Dan Ige win looks very good. That Julia Erosa win looks really good.
Yeah. But then, you know, losing to Moraes and Dawodu.
Yeah.
Both split decisions. Like, it does show he can be outworked by someone that keeps a high pace.
Yeah, he kept tempting Andre Yule to stay in the pocket and bang with him. And if he plays that game with Song, he's going to get hit real hard, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he might have a bit of a rough time.
Yeah. I think Song by decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Main card. No, that was first one on the main card.
Was it? Yeah. Surely.
Roman Dolidze against Kyle Daukaus. Another two guys that have got very similar records. 9-1, 10-2. What are you saying on this one?
Yeah.
Dolidze is fucking huge, isn't he?
He's big.
He looks massive for the weight class.
Yeah, he's big, like very lean. He's in good nick. He's part of this Georgian crew, Giga and Valishvili
and
Jojua. Yeah.
I want to keep calling it Luana. It's Liana Jojua, isn't it?
Yeah. Just merging names.
I know.
Yeah, they're tough people, aren't they? It's a tough crew coming through. He took a very exhausting but kind of safe route against Staropoli, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he just pinned him up against the fence and, you know, just kept wrestling and kept wrestling and kept wrestling. I just wonder whether Kyle is too, just a bit too sneaky for him, you know what I mean? Like do you think the older Daukaus is better?
I don't know if he's better. I think they're very similar versions of one another, but I think the attributes transfer much better at heavyweight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Chris Daukaus looks fast at heavyweight, and he looks about the same speed as his brother, and his brother's in at middleweight against guys.
Which is kind of normal.
Yeah, normal. But Dalidze is massive. I mean, you know, he might be quicker off the mark and a bit slicker.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he is. They're both well rounded, the Daukaus brothers.
Yeah.
Both got good jiu-jitsu as well.
Yeah, I'm just a bit torn that Kyle will be too sharp for him, but ultimately, most of the time when we talk about a fight where you're like, listen, one guy's a really fucking good wrestler, he's probably going to drown him. When it comes down to it, that's normally what happens. Mm. There's like a bias towards the style, isn't there?
Yeah.
And if he really wants to, like with Staropoli, if he really wants to just lean up against you on the fence, it's pretty hard. The emphasis is then on Kyle to make that not happen.
For sure.
And that's A, exhausting, and B, very, very difficult with a competent wrestler like Roman.
Yeah. The other thing as well is that this was supposed to be Daukaus against Kevin Holland, wasn't it? And Holland got injured.
Yeah, so it's a completely different.
Yeah.
I don't know how long ago that changed, though, do you?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how long.
Completely different prep, you would imagine.
Yeah.
I think Dalidze will do what he does.
Yeah. Just be a bit stronger, a bit more physical.
Yeah.
Just kind of.
I think he'll get a little bit lit up on his feet, and then he'll close the distance. He'll pin him up, and we've seen he can. Take no risk game.
Mm.
Oh shit, I'm getting lit up by Kyle. Right, I'm going to take all his space away from him. I'm going to pin him up against the fence and I'm going to exhaust him by leaning on him.
Yeah.
That's doable. I think, you know, I think he might win that.
Yeah, this fight's not on the Wikipedia card. Oh, it is, a bit lower down.
Oh, I've changed camps. I'm Tapology or nothing anymore. Yeah.
8 submissions.
Wikipedia let me down too many times.
8 submissions for Daukaus as well. That's something to consider. I mean, let's just go through this.
Right.
So what is it? 1, 2, 3 rear naked chokes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Bravo chokes.
Has Roman been caught with a sub? What's his one loss? Oh, your internet is pretending it's fine.
I'm on it. His one loss is a decision.
No, is it?
Trevin Giles.
He's not been caught.
He's only had one loss, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think Daukaus will sub him.
Yeah. at this stage, you may as well flip a coin.
I just like disagreeing with you. I think if it's close enough, I'll always disagree.
Flip a coin, it always lands on disagree.
I think you're right, up to the point where the Lidze starts to close him down and hold him up against the fence. And I think Daukaus's conditioning is good enough to keep the fight working, keep the fight moving, and snag his neck.
Yeah, he can get tired. Roman can get tired, like almost self-inflicted, isn't it? He can make himself tired.
Yeah, I think he'll darse him. I don't know why they put Bravo on his thing. That's a gi submission.
Right.
Anyway, I think he'll catch him head and arm. Bravo, darse, anaconda, whatever you want to call him.
Apparently, Josh telling me he's been anacondering and darsing people up at the gym. You were there, actually, weren't you?
Yeah.
Massacring people, he said. Mm,
yeah, he's been catching a few people with him.
Outrageous.
Good. Learning fast.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. So you've got Dalidze, I've got Daukaus. I love disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I love it even more when I'm watching the fights and my pick comes off.
Mate, I think my picks went all right.
People think I really take this shit seriously with my picks. And I mean, I could make a good argument either way. There are very few fights I'm really sure that it's going to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Most of these
are MMA.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, 3 fights left on the card. Felicia Spencer against Leah Letson.
Yeah, hold on, I'm all out of order.
Oh, shit.
Leah Letson. Yeah.
Do you think Felicia Spencer takes her down, Mulder and subs her? Because that's what most people would be expecting. One thing I will say about Leah Letson is she's a heavy-footed southpaw striker. Did you see that head kick against Elizabeth Phillips?
Yeah, I know, but she asked for that.
Yeah, she kept leaning.
But I thought that was a good read. Good insight into Letson because you almost saw that she'd seen it and she was like, oh, motherfucker, do that again.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not this time. I'll do that again. Oh, bang, whack. And she dropped her hard, didn't
she?
Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, her only loss on her record, aside from her first pro fight, which was a split decision loss back in 2014, I mean, she was, 6-0 as an amateur as well. Leah Letson.
Yeah.
She lost that fight against Macy Chasson with the knee to the body on the Ultimate Fighter. Oh. I know. Sickening.
Yeah.
Sickening.
Thud.
But then she's got that win over Stolyarenko in her last fight on the finale, bicycle decision.
It's quite a good fight. Yeah. I mean, you look at Felicia's.
As well. It's been a while since she fought. That was 2018.
Oh, yeah.
She was matched up twice in 2019 and has not fought since. It's been a while she's out.
Yeah.
But then who knows what she's been working on? I mean, Felicia Spencer's good. She gets a bit ragged on the feet, though, and that's what we saw in her fight against Nunes, where she was just. She was a bit too hittable for her, you know, a bit too
She's on a bit of a tough run, but if you look at that run, who she's lost to, Amanda Nunes to a decision. She had a bit of a tear up with Norma Dumont, didn't she? And Norma can bang. Like she's got heavy hands. She took her to a split, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She's got that sort of taekwondo background, right, where she snaps that front leg up real fast and catches people.
Yeah.
A few different angles and whatnot.
The question is, can Felicia Spencer take Leah Letson down?
I think so.
You do?
I do. I've got Spencer, I think. I always think Spencer's not as good as she is, and then she loses, I feel like she performs relatively well.
Yeah, she is good. She is tough. Yeah. She is durable. She gets a bit scrappy and a bit messy, and that is a concern.
Mm.
But, she's also been in the UFC for a bit as well.
A while.
I just think Leah Letson's going to do it.
Do you?
Well, height advantage by an inch, reach advantage by 3 inches.
Yeah, height and reach definitely win.
Higher strike rate, less strikes absorbed per minute, higher striking defense, 100% takedown defense compared to Felicia Spencer's 10% takedown accuracy.
Fucking hell.
So, you know. Mind. I see you're Felicia Spencer, and I raise you Leah Letson by TKO in the third.
Oh, it's same finishes now.
I think might stop her. Yeah, I think she might catch her with a body kick. I could see that.
I think you're underestimating Spencer again.
Yeah, maybe.
As I do most of the time.
I just like to disagree with you, though.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Where are we at?
We've got co-main event, which is Ben Rothwell against Marcus Rogério de Lima. What a... This is going to be Ben Rothwell doing what he wants. I like De Lima.
He's been choked 5 times. He's been neck choked 5 times.
Sometimes,
how else are you going to choke someone? You can't exactly arm choke someone, can you? Like, choke your arm.
Do we really want to have this conversation about how you choke someone? Anyway.
No. And choke them.
De Lima, if De Lima looked like he does in his Tapology photo, I would be picking him.
Yeah.
But I have never seen that version of him.
No. It's photoshopped.
He just kind of, that looks like him at middleweight.
Yeah.
And now he's a heavyweight and he's just kind of.
He has got some legs on him.
He has.
And he throws every single kick at exactly 100% of his capacity.
Ben Rothwell's going to go choke him into.
He's definitely going to choke him out.
He's going to catch him. He's going to lean, put that belly on the back of his head.
Mate, the last person to stop Ben was Gabe Gonzaga in 2013.
He's a monster.
He's a monster, yeah.
He is a monster.
I think De Lima will look better in his striking. Like, he just looks like he's a striker, doesn't he? And I think Ben will take it.
Mm.
And I think he's quite wily, isn't he? Like, he rolls a lot of stuff and he absorbs a lot of stuff. And you could think that he's getting hit, but he is getting hit. But, 70% of that has been taken off by sort of head movement and what have you.
And that's what's going to fuck De Lima. Because he's going to feel like he's having more success than he is.
And then he's going to miss
gas himself to fuck.
He's going
to
get clinched up, wrapped up. And I think, Ben, there's the thing about experience, isn't it? Like, Benny's a very cultured fighter. He knows exactly who he is and what he does. And he doesn't really try to do anything else. He just, he's just been around, isn't he? He can't buy it, he can't fake it. You've just been around. Look who he's faced and how many times he's faced people.
Yeah. 40 years old, over 50 fights on his record. Yeah. He's got
chances
a good
are
win
this
percentage.
This is a sub finish, right?
For sure. I think you're exactly right. I think De Lima's gonna come out, he's gonna throw two minutes on the table and he's gonna be like, fuck it, let's go. And he's gonna try and knock him out. He's gonna feel confident. Rothwell's gonna be standing tall, leaning up against the fence, taking these shots, body shots and head shots, and 2 minutes is gonna pass and De Lima's gonna back up and Rothwell's gonna step forward and he'll be like,
my turn. Oh,
shit, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And then I reckon he'll probably sub him in the first round.
Oh, first round.
I think I think De Lima will. The fight will be gone after the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And Rothwell's going to sub him.
I'd be amazed if it went the other way. I'd be amazed.
Yeah. Okay, main event.
Yeah.
Max Holloway, Yair Rodriguez.
I fucking love Max Holloway.
I know.
I love him. Like if you're fighting, like what's he going to do? So you're fighting Max. He's pretty much got the best strike in the division, right?
I would say some of the best striking in the sport.
Pretty much.
I mean, he was telling me in DC he was the best boxer.
That's what I was sort of insinuating. Yeah, he definitely thinks he's got the best striking in the division. Where are you going to go? You're going to have to engage. He's smart enough and elusive enough that you can't just throw takedowns at him and hope he's going to do something. So you have to engage with his striking to some degree to set up your takedown, and then you just get peppered.
That's it.
You just get peppered coming in trying to do that, and then he moves off because he's very, you know, he's got beautiful footwork and he's very elusive. Yair Rodriguez moves unbelievably well. Well, he did a couple of years ago. I don't know. We haven't seen him since then, have we?
It's been a while.
It has been a while. And it's not like he was busy before that. I think he fought maybe once a year before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's been a bit plagued with injury, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's had a lot of pressure on his shoulders as well. A lot of pressure on his shoulders ever since he came into the UFC. And he's been in the UFC a while, if you think. Like, he came through Ultimate Fighter Season 1 of the Latin America. Yeah. That was 2014.
He's so very elastic, and he bounces. Mm. He throws axe kicks, and he's spinning attacks, and he's that powerful body kick that he dropped Jeremy Stephens with. It was just like basically samurai swording him half.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah,
but I can't imagine he has enough to deal with Max.
I don't think he'll have the space to offer much for Max.
No,
like so. If I look at like the way that this plays out, so long range outside kicking range, Yair wins. Mm. But how long does it stay at that range? Probably 2% of the time before Max closes it down into boxing range.
And Max knows that.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's a tactician as well as an,
like, the question is that first round, because what, like, if you look at the stats for Max, he goes first round, he's not throwing much, and he's not particularly accurate. Then he gets a bit more accurate and throws more, and it goes up and up. And then by the time he's into the championship rounds, he is landing almost everything he throws, tagging people with whatever he likes. And like, they can't keep up with him because he's gotten more oppressive and aggressive as the fight's gone on. And I just think, like, if he starts with that space for Yair, then Yair's first round will probably be the best.
Yeah.
Because he'll be able to throw some kicks and then Max will start eating him away a little bit. But like, it goes from kicking range where Rodriguez has got the advantage to then boxing range where Max takes over, and he's very good with his footwork to hold it in boxing range. So not getting too close to his opponent. Because if he gets too close, then Rodriguez is going to be wild with his elbows. And that's a range that Holloway doesn't want to deal with. But one thing I can see happening, and I've not yet recorded the war room on it, I'm going to do that in a bit. Like, I can imagine Holloway wearing Rodriguez down over a couple of three rounds, and Yair being kind of backed up against the fence and trying to slip punches, and Holloway clamping onto his neck. Like, do you remember what he did against Cub Swanson, where he wrapped his neck and then he chased him to the ground with the guillotine?
Right.
And Swanson was like mount bottom guillotine tapping.
It's like, get off me.
It's fucking horrible.
It's an oppressive squeeze, isn't it?
But like, the reason that why the guillotine works so well for Max is because people try and get away from his punches.
Mm.
Like, if you look at UFC stats, and this is a standout stat for Max Holloway, strikes landed per minute, Rodriguez is at 4.33 and Max Holloway is at 7.26. I'm sure Max is in the rankings for stat leaders as well for strikes landed per minute. And what he did to Calvin Cater was just, it was brutality.
Next level.
He stole 5 years of his life with that fight.
Mate, and like, how many 5-round fights has Max had? I think Yair's been there once with Chan Sung Jung.
Mm.
To be fair, he finished that with a second to go.
Yeah.
Which is fair play. He can hang. But, you know, that amount of time you spend in there in five round fights, it's just, you know, you know the pacing strategy. You know what I mean? Like, Max has got probably the best pacing strategy in the sport. Mm. Like, you don't really see anyone that seems to have that, like, conscious on one level but innate on another level, that he's like, I'm going to increment. Oh, can you hang with this? Because I'm about to go up again. Oh, round four, motherfucker. I'm going up again.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty impressive, isn't it?
It is. I'm just looking at the stats to see what. Let's go with active. Yeah, that's the challenge for Rodriguez, is to keep enough space to do what he wants to do without getting drowned. Because, like, If Max can keep it in boxing range, it's going to be nightmares for him all day, yeah, because he's going to be peppered at a range where he doesn't have enough to throw back at Max to slow him down. And that's no slight on him, because nobody else does. I mean, yeah, like, I think Poirier started well when Max went up to lightweight to fight, and I think that's the key against Max Holloway. Same thing with Volkanovski. Start well in the first round, establish a good lead, and then keep that lead as best you can while Max is getting stronger.
Yeah. Yeah,
but like, if you can do some damage in the first round, like if Rodriguez can land some body kicks or chip away at his legs, or maybe even catch him with something and concuss him a little bit, you know, catch him with a head kick or something, that might be able to give Yair enough of a lead in the first round to be able to find openings. Mm. But if he doesn't land anything significant,
good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That's it.
Yeah.
If he doesn't land anything significant, then Holloway's just going to take the canvas away from
him. When was Max wobbled?
He's been rocked a few times.
But recently, did Volk wobble him?
Yeah. First fight he did. In the first fight he did. I don't think he did in the second one. But yeah, I mean, he does get cracked, and he does get wobbled. Like Dustin Poirier had him kind of wobbling a bit. Yeah. I expect Holloway to just be too much for him. You know, and you look at the pace that he's fighting at as well compared to Rodriguez. Like, he's got more experience. He's got more wisdom at this stage. He's got more high-level experience. He's got a higher work rate. You know, he's more seasoned in his game. He knows what he's doing. Fuck. Rodriguez is still learning.
Yeah. He's been stopped once by Poirier in 2012.
Armbar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
he's not been stopped since.
No.
Like, he's only ever lost a decision. That's fucking...
Yeah.
I am Team Max, in case you didn't realize.
He was the only person that took McGregor to a decision at featherweight.
Yeah. I like him. He's the man. He seems to be peaking as well. Do you know what I mean? He knows who he is. He knows his game. He knows where he's at. He can look at the commentators and punch you in the face at the same time. It's pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah. He's just in a good spot. I like when you see, like, okay, right, you're peaking. I see it in across all sports. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just, okay, you can... Yeah, you're right there,
yeah.
And he's right there, isn't
he? He is.
Good luck, Yair. I'm not sure this is going to go too good for him.
Yeah.
Cool fight, couple of cool fights, isn't
really there? Good fights, yeah. Really good, but I'm up for being surprised. I have nothing against Yair, and I think that he has got a lot of potential, but I think the weight of his potential is heavy on him.
Weighs on him, yeah.
Like that first fight against Jeremy Stephens, that was Mexico City, I was there for that, and... You could tell the weight of it. Like, his parents were there. Yeah, he went over to him before the fight started, and he was like all fired up. And then when it was an accidental eye poke, and it was stopped because of that. And he was just fucking losing his mind.
Mm.
He was like shit talking Bisping in Spanish as he came in to interview him and stuff. It was like he was just kind of the weight of the event. It was all about him.
Yeah,
you know, him main event Mexico City. You know, there was a lot of pressure on his shoulders and. He's a young man still, you know, he's got a lot of skills, but he's still got learning of how to apply those skills in MMA.
He needs to sort his body out real fast. If he's been struggling bad with injuries for a long time, hasn't he?
Is he 29?
Yeah.
Yeah, good fights anyway.
Yeah, good card. Wicked. Like it. All right. Check out C4energy.com. Use the code FullReptile at the checkout. If you're in the US, you'll get a discount. And check out FullReptile.co.uk for all of our gear, training line, casual line, all sorts, didn't we?
All sorts.
Big hat selection.
Yeah. Oh, and I can't show you that one because we don't sell that one. That's a specialist. Custom made. Anyways.
See you next week.
Catch you next time.